This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3028 for Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2020. Today's show is entitled, Monads and Haskell. And is part of the series, Haskell. It is the first show by new host CRVS. And is about 21 minutes long. And carries an explicit flag. The summary is, a hopefully not too rambly introduction to functors and monads in and out of Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Well, hello, hackers. This is CRVS for Hacker Public Radio with Monads and Haskell. Now, that's a bit of a silly title, and this is about the fifth or sixth time I try to record this, but since Ken Fallon said that we're apparently running out of shows, here I am. To start talking about monads and Haskell, of course, I will start with what the hell is a monad? So before we reach the monad part, we need to talk a little bit about functors and a little bit about functors and how they're actually defined and whatnot in Haskell. A little bit about how Haskell thinks of classes, type classes, as a replacement for objects in most object-oriented programming languages. And, let's just get into it. So, a class in Haskell is a very different thing from a class in, let's say, Java. Really, a class in Haskell is more like a virtual class. So, to define an actual object of class C, you first define what is the class C, meaning what are its interfaces, and then you define a type A as being of class C by providing the implementation of these interfaces. I said type instead of object, specifically because that's how Haskell sees objects or algebraic data types, really. And so you define your type class to have certain interfaces, and then you define your type to have those, you define those interfaces for a given type, and that you call an instantiation of the type class. Among the type classes of Haskell, there are a few more well-known than others. And by far the most well-known are, of course, the functor and the monad. So, before we get into the monad, it's pretty essential to understand what a functor is. And a functor is a really, really, really simple thing. It comes from basically this branch of mathematics called category theory, which I'm just going to go tangentially into right now. And the idea is, so let's say you have some algebraic structure you want to study groups, What is a group? Well, a group is set with an operation, with a binary operation that has certain restrictions on that operation. And then you not only want to study groups, but you also want to study how can you make like another group, other groups from starting with smaller groups, and whether you can have a group within a group, so on and so forth. And all of these things are done, are made by having functions between different groups. And then when you have a function from one group to another, you, if, for example, the function is one-to-one, then you know that you can just embed the smaller, this, the group where a function is from to into the group where your function is to. And this function needs to satisfy some restrictions in order to not break this group structure. So that is about groups. Sets pretty much the same, but it's even simpler because there's no structure to be dealt with. Like, the only structure is the elements themselves. And pretty much as you start or vector spaces also, when you put the vector space into another vector space, you do so by a linear transformation. And every time you do something like this, you sort of figure out, okay, so you have these objects, and they have their little structures that they have to satisfy. And aside from that, the only thing I'm really interested in, how do I map from one to the other? So this is where category theory comes in. It lets you think about the situation where you have a bunch of objects that have some underlying structure, each of them, and then you want to figure out, and then you want to play around with how you map from one to the other. And in Haskell, you really have just the one category, which is the category of types, and so each object of the category is a type in itself. For example, integers is a type, so it's an object in the category. Lists of integers is another type, and I have a function from integers to lists of integers that just takes an integer and puts it into as the only element in the list, for example. And so this is what category theory studies. It studies these things. And of course, then you're brought to think, what about if I want to study the relationship between a category and another category? Well, that's where functors come in. So, just like functions, let's call them functions, and within a category, from one object to another, tell you how you modify one object in, to sort of fit it into the other one. A category, and a functor tells you how you modify a category to fit it into another category. But remember, Haskell only has one category. So you only have one real type of, one actual functor. Or all functors are of the same type. Functors from the category of Haskell types to the category of Haskell types. And we've already seen one of them. The list creation functor, the list functor. This functor is a functor that that goes from the category of Haskell types to the category of Haskell types, but specifically to the category of Haskell types that are lists of other types. And this is very, very simple and very important to understand. Also, there's this well-known other monad, which is also a functor, which is the maybe monad. It goes from the category of Haskell types to the category of maybe a type, maybe types. So these are types that can be either nothing or just something. Just something can be really anything, really. But nothing, nothing and just are the keywords, like the type constructors. Nothing is a... You can think of it as it's a nullary type constructor, in the sense that it takes nothing, and it is nothing. Just like, think of it as none in Python. And then the just operator takes an object of any type and produces a type of and produces a type of maybe that initial type. Okay. So I already dropped the F word here, the functor, of course. And now, what's so formidable about them? Well, nothing really. The functors are just this. You can really think of them as design patterns, where you have they have these properties that you can map over them. Or the most important part of a functor is that, well, sure, you know how to take an object from type A to type F of A, F being your functor. And you also, if you know how to take an element of type A into type B, you also need to know how to take an element of type A to type F of A to type F of B. And this is what we mean when we say that, well, functors are the things that you can map over. So just like if you have a list, you can map over the list by substituting each element. You can map F over a list by substituting each element of the list with F applied to that element. Same thing with functors. If you have a functor F, you can take it an element of type F of A by mapping a function F from A to B into an element of type F of B. And here, basically, you would go from, for example, from lists of integers to lists of strings by doing show on the string. Where show is the function that basically takes any object that is showable and makes a string out of it. For example, if I do show 3, then I get the string whose only character that only has the character 3. Okay. So that is what a functor is, and it's nothing really more, and like this is sort of the tau of functors. So what about monads? Well, monads appear in, and this is how I learned about them, it was in while studying category theory. Basically a monad is a functor from a category to itself, so a Haskell functor can be a monad. That has two things. One, it has what is called a natural transformation from the identity functor to itself. Meaning that, basically, if I have any object, then there is a function, not a functor, a function that maps that object, that type, to the type, to monad A of A. So, a function that maps every element of type A to type monad of A. And that is, that in Haskell is called the return functor, the return function, which is pretty different from return in other languages. Finally, you have this product operation. And the product basically says that if I have a monad applied to itself, then I can get the monad applied only once. So if I have, let's say I have a monad M, so if I have M of A, then I have a function that takes something of type M of A and outputs something of type M of A. And it's important that there are functions here. So this is basically what makes it into a natural transformation, is that they're functions and not, you don't actually need a functor to go from one category to the other, because you stayed within the same category. Okay. However, this is not the case, and so I wanted to learn about monads in Haskell, and so I tried to apply this intuition, and that just got me more confused. Because when you define a monad in Haskell, and remember, monad is a type class, so it has its these interfaces that you need to define. And interfaces are the return function and this other binary operation that you call bind. And how is bind defined? Well, bind is defined as a function that takes an element of type monad of A and a function that takes a type A and produces a type monad of B, and then produces a function that then produces an element of type monad of B. Okay, so how do you actually get this from this operation that I said before, this function that I said before that takes a type monad of A into type monad of A? Well, it's pretty simple, really, because a monad is a functor, so you can map over it. So if you have a function, if you have an element of type monad of A and a function that goes from type A to type A monad of B, then you can apply that function on over. You can map that function over the monad of A to get an element of type monad of B. And once you have an element of type monad of B, remember that what defines a monad, in terms of category theory at least, is this having this, aside from the return, is having this operation that takes an element of type monad of A to an element of type monad of A. And here I have an element of type monad of B, so I can get an element of type monad of B. And this is the absolutely natural way of implementing it. However, in Haskell, you need to do it the other way around. You need to define how you do this operation, monad of A into monad of A, from this bind binary operation called bind that takes an element of type monad of A, a function of type A to monad of B, and produces an element of type monad of B. And so what is so difficult here is that when you look at the types and now you want to figure out how would you create your product operation, and here is just product because it's squashing two monads in one. Two applications of a monad into one. Well, how would you get it out from just the monad of A? For just using the bind, because this is what you use to define the monad, so you need to be able to define everything else you could eventually do with the monad from it. And return, of course. But in this case, we only really need this part. So it's actually exceedingly simple. All you need to do is to define the operation. So there's a naive intuition, which is once you see that what the bind operation does is it maps the function, the second argument, over the monad application, and then applies this product, you just need the monad application to do nothing, and then you will get the product, and then you will get the product out. So this gives you a naive idea, which just says, well, apply bind where the second argument is just the identity. And the identity is, of course, the function that does nothing. It takes a type A and produces a type A. However, this should not type check, because we actually need a function of type monad of A. We need to give it a function from type A to monad of B. However, it does work. So it does work. It works, and you get what you expect out. If you give it, containing a single list with a 1 inside, and you bind it to the identity ID, you get just the list with the single element that had there that was within the list inside. Or rather, if you do it, if you do a list of lists, what you get is all those lists joined together, which is what gives this operation the name in Haskell, join, which can be obtained from data.monad. Okay, so basically I just wanted to explain why this works. So the naive intuition, basically I just wanted to say, well, there's this naive idea, and this has how, and now I wanted to explain why this would actually work. And the idea is pretty simple, really. So the main hang-up is that the identity function goes from type A to type A, and not from type A to monad of B. However, these are, of course, dummy types. A is a dummy type. And if we let A equals to monad of B, then because we're inputting a monad, we're mapping this over something that is of type monad of A. We're mapping over the first monad. We really have a type, an element of type monad of A to monad of A. But if we let C equals to monad of A, then we now have an element, a function of type C to monad of A. So it does, in the end, type check once we rename the, types to give us a function of type A to monad of B. And so I have like some show notes on a post I wrote on my blog, which I will just add it to the show notes and the link also. And yeah, that's all I had to say for today. And thank you for sticking with me, and have a nice evening. Oh yes, and follow me on social media or something. I don't know. You don't need to. No, you don't. Yeah. See you next time. This is CRVS for Hacker Public Radio. Have a nice evening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.